Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now we've got Chris Trapasso, this horribly awkward moment. I don't know why I'm struggling so badly. Barrel ahead. Chris, CBS Sports, how are you, buddy? Good to have you on again.
I'm doing pretty good, Bulldog. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know why. It's a struggle right now for some reason. I'll be okay. What are your, we sat at, I think it was the open practice, right,
Yep.
This summer. And here we are, five games in. It's 4-1, and the Bills are in pretty nice-looking shape when you look at the standings. How good do you think they are?
I think they're one of the top maybe 3 to 5 best teams in the AFC. I mean, they're obviously have the third best record right now. But when you look at the Houston Texans, the Ravens, I think the Colts showed what they can do against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. But I think in terms of being a well-rounded team, the Bills are turning the ball over at kind of not an alarming rate, but that's probably the biggest weakness on offense so far. Mm-hmm. But they're getting a lot of first downs. They're running the football pretty well without having that superstar in the backfield. And the defense, like we saw with the Chicago Bears last year and a few other teams, and certainly what the Patriots are doing, that if you have a good defense in today's NFL that clearly can stop teams from scoring between 20 and 30 points a game, you can win games in this league. And they're doing it with good defensive line play, great linebacker play, and great secondary play. So they are, to me, one of the most complete teams in the AFC.
I think it is okay to say that they are turning the ball over at an alarming rate, by the way. You seem to not want to go all the way there, but, it's been kind of sloppy. I wonder how much of that do you think Josh Allen can improve on, I mean, even in the course of this year, but moving forward in his career, maybe more importantly.
I think a little bit. I don't know if we're ever going to see him be this quarterback that doesn't throw interceptions. And he just has never done that at Wyoming last year. But I do think that he realizes now that, wow, this defense is really good and punting the football is not always a bad thing. I do think especially the interception last week against the Tennessee Titans wasn't that throw across the body, but it was a force. He didn't need to make the throw. I think he's really itching to hit that big play that outside of the touchdown to John Brown in the fourth quarter against the Jets and that comeback, he hasn't really hit that big play down the field thus far. But I don't really think he needs to. I think him progressing with his accuracy in the short to intermediate ranges and especially being more comfortable just standing in the pocket and surveying, that is what will lead to this Bills offense being competent every week, every Sunday.
Talking with Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports here on WGR. I'm the Bulldog. I'm live at 716. The Sabres play the Florida Panthers. Tonight, pregame will come your way at 6. Jason Bottrell, the GM of the Sabres, will be here in about an hour from now. So, Allen, I think that big play is, despite you're saying like that maybe they don't need to have it, he has improved his short, short to mid level accuracy this year has been a big story to me, because I would not have told you in August when we sat together that he would be completing 64% of his passes especially in the short and intermediate stuff. I just wasn't sure he'd ever really settle down enough to look at those passes. So that is a big improvement. I sort of feel like I do want those big plays because that's a way to offset the turnovers. Like people say, you got to take the good with the bad. And when I think of that, I think the good as being these lightning strikes from 60 yards away.
Yeah, and I think that's part of why the Bills drafted Josh Allen, because the big arm, the gunslinger mentality, and we saw it down the stretch last year that he was still turning the ball over. He played much better, obviously, after the injury last year than he did in the first half of the season. But there were those lightning strikes late where he would have 2 touchdowns and 2 picks, but it kind of seemed like it didn't matter throwing those interceptions because he had those long touchdowns. I think that's ultimately where he'll get to. I don't know if he'll do it at the same rate that he did down the last half of the stretch last year. But for me, his pocket presence, I'm kind of going back to that again, his pocket presence has improved so much. We've seen him leave a few clean pockets, but not nearly as frequently as he did as a rookie. A lot of throws where he starts left, looks middle, looks right, and then throws an accurate pass. That is the area that I think he's improved in the most and is what bodes the most well for his future.
And he really, I think, has to improve on that because it feels to me, I don't know, like the Patriots, I saw some cut-ups of, I guess, Jamie Collins was spying him in that Patriots game. And I wonder if teams aren't doing a better job than they did last year. I think he might have caught people by surprise with his running last year, and that's not happening at all this year. It almost, like in the New England game and even the Tennessee game, Chris, I would say it looked like teams, that both of those teams were sort of, yeah, go ahead and run. You're only going to get 6 yards. They're doing a good job of respecting their assignments and their lanes and sort of keeping him. They're doing a good job of containing his running, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, and I've seen kind of the same thing that you have, and it's just another reason why you have to go back to being efficient passing from inside the pocket. You can be Josh Allen's size with his athleticism and do what he did down the stretch last year, you know, running for 100 yards in a game, averaging 7-8 yards per carry. That's not going to last in terms of taking hits like we saw against the Patriots. And like you mentioned, there's so many athletic linebackers today that can spy you where they'll take you running for 5 yards on a third down on a third and eight. But that's, again, where I think with that linebacker spying you, then that leaves someone like Cole Beasley open or John Brown over the middle or Duke Williams on a slant. So I think him taking, and he did it a lot in the Tennessee Titans game, taking what the defense gave him outside of that forced interception, he was fine with a 7-yard completion to Cole Beasley or a 10-yard pass in between zone coverage to John Brown. That's where the Bills need to see Josh Allen improve. I think he's better than he was. Is he to an elite level doing that? Not yet, but I think the arrow is pointing up in that facet of the game.
Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports is our guest here on the West Hur Hotline, talking about the Bills on the bye here. Trades are something that have been of interest to, I think, our audience, Bills fans, and myself, while the Bills are on bye here. And I feel like a part of that is because the league, I don't think we've had a better era for trades than we have the last few years. I think like 5 years ago, Chris, if we were talking and thinking about the trade deadline, I'd be like, I don't know, trades in the NFL just don't happen. And then, like, there were a few, and like I feel like there's more trades than ever now in the NFL. So I feel like the trade deadline could be pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And we have at least three teams with the Jets, Dolphins, and Redskins that maybe kind of sort of can be all kind of vying for that number one overall pick. Certainly the Dolphins, with the way that they've gutted their roster, have seemingly made that their main objective this season. And they still have all those teams, maybe not so much the Dolphins, have some decent players. But you're right that I think the floodgates have kind of been open the past couple of years, that it was this, you know, no one can trade. There's maybe going to be one insignificant trade at the trade deadline. But now teams are realizing, I'm not going to let A.J. Green hit free agency next year. Let's trade him now for a second or a third round pick. It's interesting with the Bills, though, because they have a lot of picks next year. They have almost $90 million in free agency. I don't know if I would give up an early pick unless Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott really feel like maybe a D-end or maybe a wide receiver is what they need to get from 9 or 10 wins to maybe 11 or 12 and go deeper into the playoffs.
Yeah, I like sitting with the idea of an A.J. Green trade, Stephon Diggs. People have asked us about Von Miller and Trent Williams. Like, first of all, do you think, like, how likely is it you think that any of those guys end up getting traded?
Pretty unlikely. I mean, obviously we hear GMs all the time. We saw Dave Gettleman this offseason say we didn't extend Odell Beckham to trade him, and then he was traded like 2 weeks later. Trent Williams to me is very interesting because that situation in Washington is so dysfunctional. Bruce Allen just came out and said, we're not trading Trent Williams. But he said, I am not going to play for the Washington Redskins.
Right.
And they have this incredibly valuable player at this incredibly valuable position who is not going to play for them. They could probably get a first or a second round pick, maybe multiple picks for Trent Williams. I think the Patriots would be interested. The Bills aren't liking that right tackle spot. They could move Dawkins there and trade for Trent Williams. I just think, though, that the Bills might be a team, even though we've seen Brandon Bean, you know, certainly make a lot of moves. If things are going pretty well by the trade deadline and they're 6-2 or 7-1, I don't know if he'll necessarily want to rock the boat. And if there is a trade, it could be something more lower level.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, in a certain way, having that kind of record is the kind of thing that makes fans want to pounce, right? Like, we're really good. Make us better. But on the other hand, you might want to go, hey, you should respect that we're really good. let's just stand pat. We'll draft some guys next year. I like the receiver idea better than Trent Williams. I think Dawkins is pretty good, really good, actually, at left tackle. I agree right tackle's a problem. I don't know how easy it is for him to go over there, though. The receiver idea, I think, is still where I would look, despite Beasley and Brown already proving to be valuable additions.
Yeah, I think that would probably be the most likely spot that they target. Stephon Diggs, potentially A.J. Green are the two obvious ones. I think Emmanuel Sanders from the Denver Broncos, if they continue to lose games, he could be an option. But like I said, with multiple fifth-round picks, they have all their, you know, first, second, third-rounders, and $90 million. I mean, we've heard about this entire Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean tenure. Trust the process. I don't necessarily think, I mean, these are two young guys with their first head coaching job and first GM job. I don't think that they're necessarily, hey, let's make the playoffs and lose in the first round. I think they're building toward this year and next year and the year after that. They've done that with keeping the draft picks, trading away players, getting rid of some bad contracts, and it's a great wide receiver draft class. There's always mid-level guys in free agency like we saw the Bills just pounce on this past offseason. So I don't think they don't need to bring in a Stephon Diggs if it's going to cost a first or a second round pick.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot for this. Appreciate it very much, and look forward to catching up with you again soon, man.
All right, Bulldog, thanks a lot.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.